Welcome again to another Vines Online, and I hope you're well. Tax season is upon us, so maybe you're getting all your invoices ready to try and claim back some stuff. You can even claim from working from home if you've been working from home. Whatever. Okay, hey, if you're joining us for the first time, no, this is not a tax consultant show. We're really gathering together for about 30 minutes-ish to reflect on a scripture, themes, worship, songs, a bit of a Zoom chat with the kids. And our anchor series is what we're endeavouring to build on. So as you know, you would have heard that the 9th of August is when we're planning to have our interim worship at the Vines commence. Now, government restrictions are still in place, and so you would have noticed the photo of the chairs spaced beautifully. In the next couple of weeks, we'll come up with some different photos. My favourite so far I'm thinking about is getting everybody to come in stilts. So you can at least have, you know, a 1.5 clearance from the person below you. And I'm not sure what that would feel like. Or maybe we could have all the bald men in the first service. Or maybe we could have I think I better stop right now. I'm going to get myself in trouble. Anyway, we're really trying to plan and figure out how best to get everybody in the church at different times. Do we have one service, two service? What do we do? Stay tuned, people. We'll get some more information to you. But 9th of August, pencil that date in. More to follow. All right. So today we are sailing into Romans chapter 5. And it is an amazing chapter. It's got so much stuff in there. We're going to spend 5 or 6 weeks just sailing around and just enjoying the sights and trying to figure out the depth of what Paul is really trying to tell us. So our theme continues to be what anchors us in the storms of life. Well, I'm going to ask Bill and the band to launch us into a song which affirms our fundamental faith. Thank you, Bill.
Today is a day of celebration. Our Redeemer lives.
Yeah.
heart of our life and faith is this understanding of Jesus the Redeemer. Our scripture today is, as you know, from Romans chapter 5. Let me read the first five verses. Therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing this glory of God. And not only that, but we boast in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, you'll notice behind me there's Dave's dodgy drawings, trying to pick up a bit of a subtle focus about what we're endeavouring to do for our theme. So for the kids, I talk to them about endurance. And often we think of physical things for endurance, like chin-ups or monkey bars or push-ups. For me, it's running and push-ups. So I ask the kids, well, what do you think about doing a push-up? And who can do one?
See what happens. Okay, here we go, some push-ups. This is called endurance. Let's see. Ready, steady, go.
Oh, God, the boy's doing push-ups. Good job.
How was it? Looks like, I mean, it looks like a downward dog. Very good. Well, that's good.
You look like you're ready for the push-up challenge.
Wow. Challenging stuff, isn't it? I remember the first time I ever tried to do a push-up, felt like I had Muppet arms, and I was lucky to push out one. Let's see how the conversation goes.
But the first time I ever tried to do a push-up, I couldn't do one. My little twiggy arms went, and so now I can at least do three. No, I can do at least 30 now. So how? Wow. What's the difference? How can I go from doing none to 30? What helps make that possible? Sam?
Practicing.
Okay, so it's practicing. It's so yes. Tough. Doing it more than once. Yes. Kai, what did you say? What do you think?
Yoga.
You need to say louder. Say so you need to do yoga.
Over and over again. Yes.
Yoga.
Yes, so try and do better each time.
Okay. So I noticed you guys are pumping out some great push-ups and some downward doggies.
Aloy believes if you do yoga can help you to do more push-ups, give you more strength.
You know, we talk some further things about, you know, how do we build strength? How do we grow our faith in Jesus, you know? In fact, what does a faith push-up look like? How do we grow closer to God? Chloe said, well, she couldn't wait to get older because when you're older, you're obviously closer to God. Joe said, well, the Ten Commandments and helping other people was a wonderful way to grow people closer. Kristen added a couple of other reflections, and here's a couple of subtle hints. See if you can pick them.
Grow our faith?
You know we could.
Oh, what does that mean? What do you think that means?
Oh, finish your aids. That's just fun.
What do you reckon that might be? Sam, what do you think that is?
Praying?
Praying, yeah. Praying. Yeah. Well, what's that? What do you think? Sam, what's that? Oh, no, Malachi, yes. What do you think?
Reading the Bible.
Yeah.
How do we know what God wants for us if we don't know what he says?
Wow. One of the things we celebrated today too was Esther's first birthday. And when we're talking about birthdays, we recognize that there's some things that never change regardless how old we are. And we had a bit of fun about remembering that God loves us despite our age.
In the end, you're really saying that our faith relies upon God's love of us and acceptance of us. And a big hug. And that's the thing that starts off our faith. and continues our faith from when we're one to we're 101. So when Esther's 101 years old, she'll think about all the way her faith has grown. What do you think about that? Do you think Esther will get to 101? What do you reckon? Who's going to get to 100 years old?
Oh, buddy.
I want to be 100. What about you guys? Chloe, do you think you'll be 100? How old are you now, Chloe? How old are you, Chloe?
Four.
So you've got 96 years to go.
Or more, maybe.
Yes.
So, if you're one or you're 101, God's love, God's embrace does not change. And therein lies the foundation of our hope. Amen. Well, I've got some notices. As you know, a brief little point at the beginning of the service about August the 9th, 2020, that is, not 2021. And I don't know about you, but I think the longer this goes on, the more I realize that the world's in a big mess. I mean, like, international travel is not going to happen anytime soon. Even midway through next year, we'll be lucky, because while South Australia and Australia is in a pretty good condition, even with Victoria and New South Wales. And we're thinking of you if you're watching, thinking of you and praying for you in the situation, because it is frantic and very scary and very frustrating. But when we think of COVID-19 and the season we're in, you know, the world is in a mess. There are some countries that it just continues to escalate in. And this is not finishing anytime soon. So when we think about the COVID-19 restrictions the government have put in place, yeah, we're going to have to be patient. We're going to have to continue our distancing. And look, I really know it's a difficult time for us all for different reasons. And so we continue to, I guess, try and be patient. Try and recognize that. Big breath. Always stresses people out when I do that, but big breath sometimes is a matter of just trying to take a moment, a pause, to just regather ourselves when we're confronted with something that is just at times overwhelming and unknown. So again, continue to check out the grape for more information. And we're going to change up when you need to get notices in for the grapevine. Wednesday lunchtime, Wednesday 12 o'clock, 12 noon is the best time to send messages in by. We want to get it out by 5 o'clock Wednesday evening. So if you can do that, that'd be great. Send it to Colleen or send it to me and I can include that as well. Let's pause as we pray. Lord Jesus, as we think about the theme of suffering produces endurance, we ask that you would give us an insight into what this looks like for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I have to say, Paul is one of those guys who, when he writes stuff, is really dramatic. And when we look at chapter 5, there's just so much stuff in there, you think, wow, it's outrageous. Some of the things he says, like this. And not only that, but we boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Whew. When was the last time you boasted about your suffering? Maybe whinged, complained, cried, wept, got angry, but boasting? Wow, I've suffered so fantastically this week. Woohoo! I'm the winner. It just doesn't happen, does it? And you can imagine, you know, if Paul was in my pastoral care group and he dropped this great line about what he needed to say to people, it would have been a fail. I would have got him to resubmit his pastoral care, extended his time at theological college. Sounds familiar. So Paul is trying to say something really important. And no doubt you've been in the midst of something really hard and you've been suffering and someone's tried to give you comfort. And the way they've given you comfort is to try and say, look, don't worry about it. You'll get better. It'll be over soon. La, 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 la. But the truth is often when we're at the point of our greatest grief, those words don't help. We feel like going, scream. And forcing positivity onto people when they're really at the point of just shock or grief is really hard for us all to come to grips with. You know, in the Old Testament, there's a guy called Job, and you can look him up. It's got a whole book named after him. It tells his life story, really. And Job was a really courageous character, a man of faith. And Satan said to God, look at this guy, Job. He's only worshipping you because he's got everything. He's got the works. He's got a family. He's got a farm. He's got wealth. He's got all that. If this was all taken away from him, he would not have any faith. God said, okay. And Satan did his hardest. And all those things that Job had fell away. And one of the things when it first happened in chapter 6, he had some friends come around. And his friends try and cheer him up. And while it starts well, it ends very poorly, because what they end up saying is, look, mate, you just need to allow suffering to be like a discipline for you. And maybe it's a bit like the kids talk, you know, endurance and disciplining can get a bit, I guess, confusing, because we think that somehow if we work harder at our faith, somehow that makes all the difference. But in actual fact, that's not the point of it all. Job gets really angry with his friends and says, you guys, you are like treacherous gullies that contain no water, no source of help or support. Paul says, and not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. So here we are in South Australia, in Australia, in the world, in the middle of a pandemic. Is this a second wave? Is it not? Who knows? And for us in South Australia, we're waiting a bit like maybe the eye of a storm. Really not sure when things are going to take off. If they are, it's a really strange experience. It's pretty normal to feel a bit anxious and toey in this context. You know, it's for me, I always get a bit toey when the army gets deployed to the border, because that means that things are cranking up again. And having spent 6 weeks at the beginning of the year with Bushfire Assist, you know, I do worry that it's just going to get out of control and become even more problematic. Paul says, we boast in our suffering. Now, I got to say, if it wasn't for Paul, I would really dismiss him as a bit of a loony. Because how can you boast in your suffering? Seriously. But I know, having read the story in Acts about Saul becoming Paul and having read his books, we know there's something really significant and deep about Paul. His life experience as a Christian was fraught with danger. People tried to kill him. He fled. He had to climb out of over the city walls in a basket, hiding. He's been shipwrecked. He's been jailed. He, you know, eventually died for his faith. This is a guy who knows something about Christian faith. You know, so I don't think it's bravado. We're not trying to psych ourselves up and say, yay! You know, I'm not trying to run through concrete or over hot coals. It's nothing like that. There's a couple of things that emerge out of that verse. Knowing that suffering produces endurance. Knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance does sound like work, doesn't it? It's just like somehow we're proving our faith. Somehow that really we become a god almost. That we can actually generate our own salvation by how hard we work, or how good we are, or how this or how that. Destiny is in our hands if only we work harder. If only we were better. If only. You could say, well, the more we suffer, the stronger we get. Maybe. During the Zoom talk, I guess the thing that struck me was that you can actually get caught up with this idea that somehow we have a greater contribution in our salvation if we just work harder. In fact, our modern secular world would suggest that faith is irrelevant, because actually what you can do is you have all the things you need within your life. You have this eternal fountain within you that if you just tap in, will make you flourish and grow, and it'll make you replace the need for a God, because you will become a God, a little g, G-O-D, through your work, through your suffering, through your knowledge and your mindfulness, you will somehow become all you need. You know, positive psychology, again, sounds a bit like Job's friend, you know. Let me read you a little quote about what mindfulness is in today's understanding. Mindfulness is the basic human ability to be fully present, aware of where we are and what we're doing, and not overly reactive or overwhelmed by what's going on around us. The goal of mindfulness is to wake up the inner workings of our mental, emotional, and physical processes. You know, as Christians would say, well, that's all part of who we are, but we have the perspective of faith that adds to that. We're building a faith link behind us that anchor us to God's love. And this is not something we create by ourselves, but we have an extra layer, an extra perception, an extra capacity to discover life and love. And so in the grape, I was talking about the nature of sin and how, and one of the issues was really that for many people, they try and become God. And maybe that's really what Paul was talking about when you look at mindfulness and the idea that somehow we've got all we need within us. Streams of living water. So as Christians, we know that my Redeemer lives. We know that our faith comes from an active reflection and life in Jesus. So I think for me, when I look back on that verse again, knowing that suffering produces endurance, there's a key word that we need to focus on. Knowing. We easily jump to the suffering produces endurance, but it's the actual knowing that becomes the critical word. Where does Paul's confidence and boast come from? I mean, he's not a masochist, so it's not like he enjoys suffering, so therefore he can boast that. He knows his knowledge comes from a relationship. So for us, knowing is friendship with God. The whole discussion about sin, Adam, disobedience, the fall, eternal life, you know, Jesus being the priest of the line of Melchizedek, all this stuff Paul has been throwing at us and reading and I've been mentioning, all leads to the point, to the crucial part, that through Jesus we become God's friend. Not enemy, God's friend. That means when we turn to God through Jesus, we become a friend of God. And our suffering, rather than separating us from God, is actually a part of that journey. Now, what is the key to growing faith during the hard times? You know, I keep going back to that footsteps poem. And if you don't know the footsteps poem, look it up online. But basically, what I like about that, and the more I think about it, is there's some fascinating dynamics that maybe I haven't considered before. Why is it at the point of that person's greatest need, and he's talking to Jesus and complaining bitterly, when he looks back over the sand and there's only one set of footprints, when he's struggling most and he's complaining to Jesus, you know, where were you? What were you doing? What really strikes me is that this person wasn't speaking to Jesus about his suffering or her suffering. There is no recognition that at the greatest point of their suffering, that Jesus was present with them. Where was the eternal friend? Probably because the person was so angry about suffering, they weren't even talking to God. They blamed God, they blamed everybody else, and they just ignored the one friend they probably really needed to speak with. Ironic, isn't it? For many people, suffering can destroy their lives. We know that. And for many people, suffering is a point where they blame God for their existence and what's happening to them. So many times people act like they are a God and they try and hold everything to themselves. They try and manage their grief and loss. They try and manage their anger and their despair by not telling God, by somehow thinking they can control it. You know, I often wonder how many times God just wishes that we would vent our spleen, weep our tears, just bring all of what we have to the point of God's, you know, to God's feet, to the foot of the cross, to whatever image you want to use. I know, you know, grief draws us inwards, and often we don't have the words to describe. That's where you look up the Psalms. Man, the Psalms are the most blunt, violent at times, expressions of anger and frustration at God humanity has written. But what I really find interesting is you have the psalmist writing angrily, and then they'll pause and stop. Because they know stuff, because they know that God is still with them, and then they'll go back and start getting angry. And they, and yet you have called us your chosen people. But we felt failed, you rejected us, we're in Babylon, and yet you have shown us your love. And, you know, so there's this dynamic that happens. And that's, if you want to grow your faith through suffering and hard times, you don't ignore God or blame God. Bring your prayers to God in your tears and your frustrations, and just bring it all. That's what faith is about. You cannot have a relationship with God if you're not talking to God. There's a song that I asked Bill to sing. I'm only going to have a little short couple of verses, and I'd like you to just think about the words that Bill sings. Thanks, Bill. I know you've had a tough week, so all the best. What a friend we have in Jesus. Suffering doesn't need to separate us from God. It can bring us closer to God. Suffering doesn't need to be the thing that breaks our back. Even though it's horrendous and difficult and just unwarranted sometimes. We can avoid this crap. We just wish we didn't have to go through this. But it happens. Life's unpredictable. So as we think about the words from the song, I'm going to pause for a moment and offer a prayer. I invite you to pray with me. Lord Jesus, we take a moment and recognize honestly that there's so much stuff we really think we can control, but actually, you know what? We can't. There's so many things we worry about, we try and hold on to, we take ownership over and think that somehow through worrying and that somehow we can bring change. We get angry when things don't go away. We get frustrated when the world seems to not be happening in the way we want. Lord, forgive us for not trusting you enough to bring our trials, our tears, our temptations to you. Forgive us for trying to carry our sins and grief by ourselves. Forgetting that Jesus took our shame in his death, took our sin and took our grief so that we might have new life. Lord, come to us now in our distress. Forgive us, we pray. We know that forgiveness is at the heart of faith. Lord, and we willingly let it put aside our godlike pride that wants to control and be in charge, and we ask for forgiveness. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So forgiveness helps us turn around, change direction, gives us new life and hope. So in this insane COVID-19 season, I hope you can take something from these words and the songs. I'm going to ask David to lead us in Great Is Thy Faithfulness.
God is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful.
Things that different images again that have tried to emerge and stimulate growth through endurance, and again don't forget the morning tea we've got today, and again keep planning. We'll let you know what's going on with the 9th of August, and we're working hard to try and come up with some really good strategies about how we communicate and how we indicate who's coming and who's not, la la la. So whew, lots of fun and games. So, don't forget, in the meantime, continue to phone a friend. Surprise people with your generosity. and your willingness to ring and remember them and choose life. Because in the end, that's something we do have power over. And don't forget, when we phone and we choose life, we do that because phoning a friend means we can't catch a virus over the phone, but we can pass on God's love. So go in peace to serve the Lord in whatever way you can. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.